This morning's title is a little long. I hope I can sort of narrow that down a little bit by explaining what it's meant by it. Loving myself redemptively. Now, we were talking about in the other messages about loving God completely, and then the second part of that is loving myself redemptively. And it's important to understand redemption by knowing my identity in Christ. You see, my identity in Christ is also a clear and concise and a definitive definition of a true believer. A true believer that's identified with Christ has with him or her this clear, I should say, guarantee, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with redemption, we're dealing with sanctification. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into the picture of a believer's life, this is the beginning of sanctification. And you can't have sanctification without the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do today is to kind of share with you some of those things in relationship to that the Scripture talks about in relationship to our identity in Christ. So now, the Bible tells us that in the last days, in the latter days, difficult times will come. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that there will be dangerous seasons, epochs, that there will be a continuation of a frequency of evil that will come. But he describes the characteristic of people in the last days like this. He says they will be lovers of self. Narcissism will be one of the main, most important features that we see in society today. Everybody is proud. Everybody is proud of who they are, what they have, what they know, where they've been, and so forth and so on. So this is people say, well, it's okay to love yourself, but it's how we love ourselves. Do we love ourselves in a self-centered way, or do we love ourselves in Christ? There's a big difference to love myself in Christ. Because when I love myself in Christ, I'm loving the redemption that I've received from him. Okay? So here is how it goes. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says we died with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. That we were buried with Christ. And that we were raised with Christ. And that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies at the right hand of God at this time. We are seated with him in heavenly places. And then it says that we will return with him and we will reign with him. Now, this is a clear indication of sanctification, because sanctification is done by the Spirit. And without the Spirit, there is no sanctification. Now, what does the word sanctification mean? It means to be set apart. It means to be set apart by God. So when the believer comes into an active relationship with Jesus Christ through his or her faith in the Lord and experience what the Bible calls a spiritual birth. Now, the spiritual birth is done by the Holy Spirit. We see it on the day of Pentecost when Jesus told the disciples not to leave. And there's 120 people in the upper room who were Jews who had come from all over the scattered world in which they had been scattered to Jerusalem to worship. And they're fulfilling the prophecy of Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall see visions and dreams. And on my service will I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, this is the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was very clear that he must go away if the Holy Spirit is going to come. John 15, 16, 17, Jesus talks about that. Talks about him going away. If I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. You see, Jesus had to fulfill from Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Okay? And so Jesus, in fulfilling the law of God, what is he doing? He's literally overcoming or destroying sin as he lives. In his body, he is the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. And so here Jesus is doing what? He is fulfilling all of the ceremonial, the legal law, as well as the moral law. Jesus is fulfilling all of that in his life. And he's constantly saying, who convicts me of sin? It's very important who Jesus' father was, because who his father was determines if, in fact, we can be saved. Now, I heard Kenneth Copeland say that if he had enough faith, he could save the world. But what's the difference between Jesus and Kenneth Copeland? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's product in Christ coming into the world. And so as Christ comes into the world, he is literally fulfilling all righteousness. And he's doing something else. He's taking away the law of sin and death. And he's replacing it with the law of the Spirit of life in himself. Because Jesus brought life to the dead. And we were all dead in trespasses and sin. And he comes and he does what? He comes and he brings us back into the family of God, which is part of what he promised that he would do. Now, I put some things down here, and I'm not going to try to cover. We'll cover most of this in Sunday school class this morning, but I just kind of want to highlight some of the things. Now, loving myself correctly, redemptively, is receiving God's unconditional love, forgiveness, his eternal acceptance through his perfect, sacrificial, substitutionary, all-sufficient atoning death. That's a lot to say, isn't it? Now, if we look at Jesus' death was sacrificial because he died in our place as a substitution for us on the cross, and then his sacrifice was all sufficient. That meant that God was pleased with his life. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, Jesus said. And so his death was atoning. He says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled to the sanctifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews chapter 10. Now, here we can see that Jesus' death was the reality of our salvation. So here's what the Bible says. I died with Christ. I was crucified with him. Okay, I died with him. When he died, I died. And when he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. When he was he's seated at the right hand of God, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. And then it tells us that we will reign with him. But here is what Peter says. One verse. And I read all the other verses for context, but Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what's important. The word knowledge there is not gnosis, to know. It is epignosis, which is a deeper knowledge of Christ. In other words, you have to go deep in order to understand your true identity in Christ. Because I'll tell you, in the world that we live in, there's going to constantly be challenges to challenge your identity, who you are in this world. And so to get you to act outside of the character of who you identify with. And so as believers, we identify with Christ in the world, and that's who we represent. And so as a part of the sanctifying work of Christ, he has set us apart for that very purpose. And so in the sanctification process, we are growing in the grace and knowledge. We're growing in a deeper, intimate understanding of Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus is the Savior because we have prayed to receive him as our Lord and Savior. But you see, understanding this, this is where spiritual growth begins to really, really take root. Spiritual growth is not mystical, and it's not sentimental, it's not devotional, and it's not psychological. It's the result of some clever formula that somebody has and so forth. And so people are always in this ritualistic, hocus-pocus kind of Christianity. And I don't prescribe to that. I think that the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of the Christian life is really expressed in the genuineness of your spiritual birth. You can't fake a spiritual birth. When it's there, you connect with people who are spiritually born again. That's why the Bible tells us that we should all say the same thing. We should all think the same thing. Why? Because by one Spirit, we're baptized into one body, whether we be slaves or free, whether we be rich or poor, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. And it's very important this morning that we understand the Spirit that sanctifies. Now, John tells us over in the epistles of John, in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and false prophets always have a false spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. They tell you, oh, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But the Holy Spirit's not speaking to them, a false spirit. And Peter warns us, Paul warns us, that this is one of the things that we need to avoid, is test the spirit to see whether they're of God. He says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is not of God, but this is a spirit of Antichrist. And what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that Satan is not only joining the church, he's taking over the congregations all over the world. And we see all of this stuff that has nothing to do with Christianity. Rituals, ceremonial rituals, going through all of this unnecessary. And this is what Jesus came to fulfill and to take away, was the ritual, so that we could have a reality of faith in him and an intimate relationship with him. It's very important to understand what spirit is sanctifying Crossroads Church. That's the big question. What spirit is sanctifying you? Because there are a lot of spirits. How many of you watched the movie, the new movie Ghostbusters? Did you see that? I watched it just to see how Hollywood is displaying what the Bible says will be a reality in the last days. And it's very interesting how tuned in they are to what the Scripture says, but how tuned out believers are, because we don't know what the Scripture says. And this is very, very important for all of us to understand that there is in this last day very, very dangerous and the word savage seasons. Dangerous times. And I think this is one of the most important works of the Holy Spirit, is sanctifying his people and identifying with them as they identify with him. Now, identifying with Christ means that I have to understand, why did I die with him? Why was I crucified with him? Why was I buried with him? Why does the Bible say that? Why does the Bible teach us that we died with Christ? We were buried with him. We are raised with him. Now, some of the things I want to just share with you this morning. In this righteous reign of sanctification and identification with Christ, it frees us from the law and slavery of sin, so we can be led by the Spirit of God and thereby fulfill the law, because God has called us and will never separate from us. Okay, now I want you to get Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to have my reader to read that for you. Now, I want you to listen to this. Listen to what Paul is saying. Now, he is building his message in Romans, you know, starting in chapter 1, the pagans, the believers, and then the moralists, how they are all guilty before God. And then he lays out in chapter 3 the characteristics of the heart of the sinful man. And then he starts talking about the faith of Abraham, justification by faith, Romans chapter 5. And he goes in now talking about the freedom that we have in Christ. Now, freedom is something that's very important. So what is the message of sanctification? It is that I must match my position with my practice. That's sanctification. I'm going to match my, when I understand my position, then I have to practice. Are y'all listening to me? I have to practice my new position. Now, you know, if you have a new position and they lay out to you what your position is on the job and so forth and so on, we call that a job description, right? And so you have to fulfill. And so you're going to be evaluated on how well you fulfill your job description. God is looking at how well we practice our position in Christ. Okay? And this is what causes spiritual growth. This is what causes us to explode in growth and surpass a lot of people around us. Why? Because they're not focused on the right thing. Knowing Christ. Paul said that I may know him. I don't want to just know him, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know that power that resurrected him from the grave. And I also want to fellowship with his suffering. That's insane. But Paul said there's something about the suffering of Christ that brought about redemption for humanity as he sacrificially lays down his life for people he don't even know. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Before we were even created, he had already died for us. And that says a lot about him. Now, there are several areas I want you to take to heart. Romans chapter 4, verses, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Would you read for us, please?
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin after we lived in it any longer.
Yes, sir.
Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus, Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live in new life.
Wow. Those verses are loaded. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are, now Paul uses a word. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin? So I want you to imagine that this is a casket here. And you in it. And every allurement in the world, every lust, every pleasure begins to parade in front of you. What will you do if you're dead? There's a strong word here, dead to sin. That if I'm dead to sin, then sin no longer has mastery over me. It no longer has power over me. Because I'm dead to it, that means I'm free from it. If I'm dead in it, that means that I'm a slave to it. You see, sin has people enslaved. That's why they are not free. You see them talking about the freedom that I can do whatever I want to do. But they're not free. Why? Because they're slaves to the sinful nature. The believer, however, the sin power has been broken through Christ, and therefore he is free from sin, and he is free from the power of sin. Must be understood. As a believer, my identity in Christ is that I'm free from sin. I'm dead to it. Paul said, I'm dead to sin. So what temptation bothers me? Nothing. As I'm operating in the spirit of sanctification. You see, if I operate in my humanness, then I become part of the temptation of sin. But if I'm in the spirit, it has no power over me. Why? Because in Christ, I'm dead to sin. That's what Paul said. But he also says something else. Not am I dead to sin, but he says, I've been what? Buried with Christ. When he was buried, I was buried.
you were buried. Because why? Christ's body became the a substitutionary sacrifice for all humanity. Therefore, all of our sins were placed on him. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. So therefore, we were with him on the cross. We were with him in the grave.
That's our identity. Then he says,
you can see yourself identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. There's a question about your sanctification. Sanctification means you're saved. Sanctification means you're identified with Christ. And the Spirit of God is your guarantee there of that reality.
So it's by faith that I walk in this resurrected life. It's by faith that I'm saved. By grace through faith, not of myself, this is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so you see here, the mastery of sin is over our lives has been broken by the death and resurrection of Christ. Romans 6, 1 through 4. Number two. God's holy law, 7, 1 through 14, chapter 7 of Romans 1 through 14. God's holy law, living in the Spirit, frees us from the law which revealed that death was a result of sin. Now listen to Paul here in Romans 7, 1 through 14. And you have to become familiar with this because this is something that we live all the time. Go ahead. 1 through 14. Buckle up.
Do you not know, brother, for I'm speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, he is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, he is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, released from that law, and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died with the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us,
listen,
we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written.
Are you listening?
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not.
Listen.
Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire.
Listen.
For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, for when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died.
Listen.
I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought
death.
But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law was holy, and the commandment was worthy, righteous, and living. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become highly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin.
Wow. That's pretty clear that the law has been done away with. Now, when we say done away with, we're talking about fulfilled in Christ. And another law is given to us, the law of the Spirit. You see, Jesus created the law of the Spirit of life that frees us from the law of sin and death. We'll see that in Romans chapter 8 in a minute. But here you see clearly Paul is dealing with the law. And then he says, the good that I would, I don't do, but the evil that I would not, that I do. And if I do that which I would not, it is no longer I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul is saying, listen to me, there's a part of you that's going to do right, and there's a part of you that's going to do wrong. Now you need to be aware of this going into this new sanctification. Your old man and your old woman don't want to obey God. Period. It's one of your enemies. One of your enemies is yourself, the world, and Satan. But here, Paul says, know this, that the good that you should do, you don't do. Why? Because you haven't had enough practice in your position. Practicing your position, you become perfect. How do you think Steph Curry practice? Same concept. Practice your position in Christ. I'm dead to sin. Practice laying down on in front of temptation and saying it doesn't bother me because I'm dead. Am I really dead to sin in Christ? Yes, I am. And so, God's holy law, living in the Spirit, frees us from the law which revealed that death was a result of sin. That's what Paul is saying. The wages of sin is death. He said it in chapter 3. But he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number 3, sanctification by the Spirit. The law is fulfilled in believers who walk according to the Spirit and make them righteous. See, the only way to be righteous is to walk in the Spirit and walk by faith. The indwelling Spirit is proof of salvation and a promise of resurrection according to God's knowledge. Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. We're just going to read it and let you hear it.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Because through Christ Jesus, the law, the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law was calling us to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin to the sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit.
Listen.
Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God.
Listen.
Does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot do God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not know, does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you,
listen.
Your body is dead because of sin. Yet, your Spirit is alive in righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you.
See, it explains it very clearly how Jesus' life fulfilled the law and took it away and gave us a new law, a law of the Holy Spirit, frees us from the law of sin and death. and what the law could not do in that it was weak. If the law could have saved us, Jesus wouldn't need to have come. If the law, what God wrote, could have saved us, but we can't keep it. Why? Because we're imperfect. An imperfect being can't keep a perfect law. And that's why the law is holy, it's just, and it's good, but it does not benefit the believer unless the believer can be changed on the inside. The Spirit of God comes in and changes the believer on the inside. And therefore, now it is the Spirit work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. What we are dealing with here is the work of the Holy Spirit from the Pentecost until this day. The Spirit of God has been working. And every person in here that's have a relationship with God through Christ is because the Holy Spirit drew you to the body of Christ. Because you've been chosen. You've been elected. Therefore, when the time came, when you were here, Jesus saved you. And through his Spirit that has been saving people down through the generations. So we must understand as a part, not only the sanctification of the Spirit, but now it makes us elect, the elect of God. And so God's purpose works out in our lives of those who he calls, in whom he justifies. Through persecute, though persecuted, they will never be separated from his love. Now, this is something very important. What are we talking about? My identity with Christ. So, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. Listen to what he says.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Mm-hmm. And those who predestined, he also called. Those who called, he also justified. Those who justified, he also glorified.
Listen.
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also,
listen,
graciously give us all things?
Yes.
Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies.
Yes.
Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was also raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Who?
Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine,
listen,
or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors than him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future,
listen,
neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God.
Now, how many of you had some of that stuff happen to you that he named on the list there? But he says nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Once you are sanctified, nothing can separate you. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he sanctified. Whom he sanctified, he also glorified. That means that God's work, the work of the Holy Spirit, cannot be stopped in you. Now, you got to get that. You got to get that on the inside. What can separate me? And I'm telling you, I've had a lot of that stuff come. Persecution, demons, you name it. To separate me. And all the time, I'm holding on to my identity in Christ. I'm holding on to what he says. Regardless of what my circumstances are around me, I'm holding on to the truth. What can separate me from your love? I repeat it. life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. All that the Father has given unto me, of them have I lost none. The work of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that you're going to make it if it's in you. Your identity with your Savior must be realized and understood and studied and grow in it so that it becomes a consciousness in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the life of Jesus that was fulfilled on earth. And the Holy Spirit is now building the kingdom of God in the world. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you for your sacrificial, substitutionary death that paid our redemption's price in full and satisfied the Father. I thank you, Lord, fact that we belong to you and no one can take us out of your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.